Let us start with a general introduction to capital gains tax. Capital gains tax is a relatively new tax, having been introduced on the 6th of April 1965. The legislation has been amended considerably several times since it was introduced. The most recent changes were made in 2010. In general terms, a capital gain will arise when a person disposes of a capital asset at a profit. Profit, again in general terms, is the excess of proceeds over cost. A capital gain will arise when a chargeable person makes a chargeable disposal of a chargeable asset. Let us explore each of these terms in a little more detail. A chargeable person could be an individual or it could be a company. Note here, however, that if a company makes a capital gain, that is, it sells an asset and makes a profit, it will not pay capital gains tax, but instead the company will pay corporation tax on its capital gain. If an individual is either resident in the UK or ordinarily resident in the UK, they'll be chargeable to capital gains tax. Generally, individuals who are neither resident nor ordinarily resident in the UK do not pay UK capital gains tax, even if they sell an asset that is situated in the UK. Let us now have a look at the definition of a chargeable disposal. The most common way for a person to dispose of an asset is to sell it to another person. However, a gift also constitutes a disposal for capital gains tax purposes. There are provisions within the capital gains tax legislation that provide for the loss or destruction of an asset also to be treated as a disposal for CGT. Finally, let us have a look at what we mean by a chargeable asset. Essentially, a chargeable asset is any asset which is not specifically exempt under the capital gains tax legislation. In a moment, we will take a look at a list of the most common types of asset that are exempt from CGT. So by process of elimination, if you cannot find an asset on the list of exempt assets, it will be a chargeable asset for capital gains tax purposes. Let us now take a look at assets that are exempt from CGT. Cars are always exempt from capital gains tax. If you do not know what a car is, the legislation helpfully defines it as a mechanically propelled road vehicle suitable for the conveyance of passengers. As such, assets such as vans and lorries are not exempt from CGT simply because they do not satisfy the definition of the word car. Wasting chattels are exempt from capital gains tax. A chattel is tangible, movable property, that is, an asset that one can see, touch, and move. A wasting chattel is a chattel with a useful life of less than 50 years. As such, assets such as greyhounds and racehorses are exempt from CGT. This is on the basis that you have never seen and probably never will see a 50-year-old greyhound or a 50-year-old racehorse. Gilts are also exempt from CGT. Gilts are treasury stock issued by the UK government on which annual interest is payable. Gilts are exempt from capital gains tax because they will satisfy the definition of a qualifying corporate bond, or QCB. QCBs are exempt assets for CGT. Shares in an ISA, an individual savings account, are exempt, as are shares in venture capital trusts, or VCTs. Gains on shares in EIS companies are also exempt, but subject to certain conditions. This is not an exhaustive list, and there are one or two other assets that are also exempt from capital gains tax. These include foreign currency held for personal expenditure outside the UK, certain decorations for valour, life assurance policies, and certain works of art. Remember, if an asset is not specifically exempt, it must be a chargeable asset for capital gains tax.
Any transfer between a husband and wife, or civil partners, is treated as taking place at no gain and no loss. This means that transfers can be made between spouses or civil partners without incurring a charge to CGT. Gifts to charities or political parties are also treated as taking place at no gain and no loss. Let us now have a look at how we actually calculate the capital gains tax. Every individual has an annual exemption for capital gains tax. This annual exemption is £10,100 for the tax year 2010-11. The annual exemption is very similar to the personal allowance for income tax in that the first £10,100 of capital gains in the year are not chargeable to CGT. Therefore, in order to arrive at taxable gains, we take chargeable gains and deduct £10,100. Let us illustrate the calculation of taxable gains by working through an example. Let us take a taxpayer and call him Charlie. Charlie makes 2 capital gains during the tax year. We add together Charlie's gains to find his total chargeable gains. Then we deduct the annual exemption of £10,100. This will leave us with a taxable gain of £11,000. The appropriate rate of tax will then be applied to the taxable gain to find the CGT liability. Let us look next at what rates of tax apply to capital gains. The way in which gains are taxed changed as a result of the second budget in 2010. Taxable gains arising before the 23rd of June 2010 are charged at a fixed rate of capital gains tax of 18%, irrespective of the amount of the gains or the amount of income received in the tax year. But for gains arising on or after the 23rd of June 2010, the rate of CGT depends on the level of an individual's taxable income. If an individual pays tax at the higher or additional rate on his income, then the rate of capital gains tax will be 28%. Otherwise, gains will be taxed at a rate of 18% to the extent that they do not exceed the individual's unused basic rate band, and at 28% to the extent that they exceed the amount of the unused basic rate band. The unused basic rate band is the amount of basic rate band remaining after an individual's income has been taxed. Remember that the basic rate band will be extended by the gross amount of any gift aid donations or personal pension contributions made by the individual. The annual exemption should be deducted in order to minimize the tax due. In other words, it should be deducted from gains which are subject to tax at the highest rate. When calculating an individual's capital gains tax liability for 2010-11, gains arising before the 23rd of June 2010 will be taxed at 18%, regardless of the level of an individual's income. In order to calculate the tax on gains arising on or after the 23rd of June 2010, it will be necessary to establish the amount of the unused basic rate band. The annual exemption should be allocated to gains arising on or after the 23rd of June 2010, where these will be chargeable at a rate of 28%. In our previous example, Charlie's gains arose before the 23rd of June 2010, so his taxable gain will be taxed at a flat rate of 18%. Let us consider another example. George sold a painting on the 3rd of May 2010, giving rise to a gain of £20,000. He also sold an investment property on the 31st of August 2010, giving rise to a gain of £50,000. George earns a salary of £35,000 in 2010-11, which is his only source of income. When calculating the tax liability, we'll need to deal with each gain separately, as the gain on the painting arose before the 23rd of June 2010, and the gain on the property arose after this date. The annual exemption should be deducted from the gain on the 31st of August 2010, as this will save tax at the higher rate. The gain on the painting will be taxed at 18%, as it arose before the 23rd of June 2010, giving rise to a tax liability of £3,600. In order to calculate the tax due on the taxable gain of £39,900, which arose after the 23rd of June 2010, we need to work out the amount of George's unused basic rate band. To arrive at taxable income, we deduct George's personal allowance from his salary of £35,000. We deduct the taxable income from the basic rate band to arrive at the unused basic rate band. The unused basic rate band is £8,875, meaning the first £8,875 of the gain is taxed at 18%, and the balance of £31,025, which exceeds the unused basic rate band, is taxed at 28%. The total capital gains tax liability for 2010-11 is therefore £13,884. Capital gains tax is always due and payable on the 31st of January following the year in which the gain was made. In this example, George's tax will be due and payable on the 31st of January 2012. Now it is your turn to practice by doing the next example. Your requirement is to calculate Vince's capital gains tax due. Once you've attempted the question, click the button at the bottom of the page to check your answer. Let us work our way through the solution. The gains must be dealt with separately, as the gain on the shares arose prior to the 23rd of June 2010 and the gain on the land arose after that date. The annual exemption is set against the later gain, as this will minimize the liability. The earlier gain is taxed at a fixed rate of 18%. Before we can calculate the CGT on the later gain, we need to find out how much of Vince's basic rate band remains. We extend the basic rate band by the grossed up gift aid payment, then we deduct this from the taxable income after the personal allowance. £11,875 of the basic rate band remains. So, £11,875 of the later gain is taxed at 18%, with the rest of the gain taxed at 28%. This brings us to a total CGT liability for the year of £11,284.
To finish off this session, let us see if you can remember whether assets are chargeable to capital gains tax or whether they are exempt. Let us now work our way through the solution. A cottage in the Lake District is a chargeable asset, as is a villa in Spain. Just because an asset is situated outside the UK, it does not make any difference to whether it is chargeable or not. An antique vase is a chargeable asset. Remember that wasting chattels are exempt from capital gains tax, but one would assume that an antique vase has a useful life of more than 50 years and, as such, is not a wasting asset. A vintage Rolls-Royce is exempt from capital gains tax. A vintage car is still a car. This is a common examiner's trick, and try not to fall for it. Shares in Tolly Limited are chargeable assets for capital gains tax. The shares in an ISA, an individual savings account, are exempt assets. A thoroughbred racehorse is an exempt asset for capital gains tax. This is an example of a wasting chattel. A national lottery ticket is an exempt asset on a general principle that profits from gaming or lotteries are not chargeable either to income tax or to CGT. And finally, a factory used in a business is a chargeable asset. The fact that the asset is used for business purposes makes no difference to whether it is chargeable or not. This completes our introduction to capital gains tax. In the next session, we will move on and take a look at how capital gains are calculated.